The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Audible, and Talking Simpsons listeners can go to audibletrial.com/lasertime and get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we prefer the smell of bank customers. I am your host, Bob Mackey, and I'm also a military strongman. Who else is here today?
Christopher No Goodnick Antista.
Oh, I hate those guys.
Systems analyst Henry Gilbert.
And today's episode is all about Separate Vocations, which aired on February 27th, 1992. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
Oh, Bobby, you would not believe what happened on this day in history. Unemployment is at a record 7.3%. Chevy Chase's Memoirs of an Invisible Man becomes an instant classic in movie theaters. And NBC announces it will drop Saturday morning cartoons as of next September.
Ah.
Damn, Yo Yogi killed it, man.
Could have been that or Space Cats or whatever the
Knights
hell
Knights of the
else.
Round Table.
Yes, that one
I
too.
I remember being very bummed about this. If you listen, we have a laser time with a very funny April Richardson, AP, on Twitter. You may have seen her on Chelsea Lately and other things. She's obsessed with Saved by the Bell, and I hated it for canceling cartoons around this time.
It was much cheaper paying non-union high school kids to prance around one stage for 22 minutes.
One stage.
I not only hated Saved by the Bell, I hated everything they replaced the cartoons with. Like, it was real bad.
Well, when Saved by the Bell is the best part of that group, like, it's bad time.
Saved by the Bell is like The Wire compared to California Dreams and whatever the else, like
Hoop,
Hanging Out or The Hang Zone, I don't know.
What was it? There was a basketball one, I do remember that.
Yeah.
But, Life.
Lost the history, but not the Simpsons. In this episode, I think it's a very Rugratsy episode in the vein of Bart the General, where it's kids doing adult stuff, like an adult thing put in the context of kids, like Bart being like this hardcore police authority figure.
I never thought of it like that. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It is kind of like the kids play dress up, and it's a one-to-one matchup. Well, instead of bombs, they're throwing water balloons, and instead of a police officer, instead of a fascist state, he just grabs people by the arm and sends them to detention.
Yeah, though Lisa does correctly identify Bart as a fascist, but this episode starts off with a parody of a famous standardized test that I took several times.
Here it is.
We're going to take a test.
All right, a test!
It's called the Career Aptitude Normalizing Test, or CANT. Some of you may discover a wonderful vocation you never even imagined. Others may find out life isn't fair. In spite of your master's friend Bryn Mawr, you might end up a glorified babysitter to a bunch of dead-eyed fourth graders while your husband runs naked on a beach with your marriage counselor. First question. If I could be any animal, I would be A, carpenter ant, B, a nurse shark, or C, a lawyer bird.
Oh, God, I
love
it.
Question 60. I prefer the smell of A, gasoline, B, French fries, or C, bank customers.
That is one of my lines of the show. Yeah, I love that so much.
I never studied for tests, but I always found tests very easy to read. Not necessarily the aptitude test. Because I remember I kind of nudged my aptitude test towards stuntman and got it. Like, I just knew that would be something like that.
No, that was the thing you realize as a kid. Once you realize that as a kid, of like, oh, these tests are made by people. Like, it's not, you know, it's not some deity handing this down. They want an answer, and you can twist it. They expect you, as a kid, to not know that you can turn, you can direct it a way you want.
It's all about playing the game, or, like, learning the rules and playing it right. And
this is another episode written by George Meyer, who his episodes definitely have a feel of, like,
cynicism.
Absolute cynicism. A hatred of family, authority, and schools, but also of a smart kid who came to hate school, which definitely comes through in that. And just, God,
allegedly me.
the obviousness of those questions of like a lawyer bird.
Lawyer bird.
It's so great.
It's great. Like, I think one of the people in the commentary said, as long as one viewer walked away hating cops, George would be happy.
Yes, yeah.
And I do want to rewind a bit. They blew a ton of Edna Krabappel's backstory with just one joke. And keeping in mind, I haven't watched the show in probably 8 years. Like, that could be an episode, like learning what happened to Edna. Because I don't think they ever revisit that.
She mentions like the degree her ex-husband had.
No,
like,
no, that's her degree. She went to Bryn Mawr.
Bryn Mawr. That's crazy. Cool.
I wonder what she
mastered. They should address it this season.
Well, she is canonically dead now, so they never will.
Unless
they're
disrespectful like they were Lunch Lady Doris.
Hey,
I still don't forgive them.
They created a Lunch Lady Dora.
Yes.
They brought back a Doris briefly, but
she's
then
dating
they made
Fit
Dora.
Tony.
Oh, and by the way, this episode also won Nancy Cartwright an Emmy for her performance.
Really?
This was the one they submitted for her nomination.
A great performance. Also, a bit of trivia. I believe on a previous episode, way a long time ago, I talked about I was after a Simpsons animation cell. The cell was Bart being handed the hall monitors.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be Bart taking a picture of his own butt.
Oh, that would be... If that's ever online, please alert me.
Because there's at least two episodes where that happens.
Yeah,
but let's not get ahead
of ourselves. That's my Twitter background.
But the,
it really is.
The Iowa doing the
is that a joke
thing?
I don't get? Bob, you're from Iowa.
I'm from
Ohio.
An
Iowa-like state.
It's actually very far away, but just as boring. And they're very dead on in that the Iowa test might not exist anymore thanks to No Child Left Behind. They have a new standard of testing. It was a real thing.
Wow.
That's why the tests go to Iowa in this episode, because all of the testing stuff came from Iowa. And I don't think you had to pay for it, but it was basically they were getting free... what's the word I'm looking for?
Census data?
Tax subsidies?
I guess data. They were getting free data about students and learning and things like that.
Oh, selling the data to people.
You can sell that data to anyone.
I don't know what they did with it, but you could just
sold it to Capri Sun, man. I knew it.
Yeah. They're selling our futures.
No, when I was a kid, I felt like Florida... I think Chris actually might know a bit more about this than me, but Florida like would have its own... thing, testing, yeah, it would have FCAT. It wouldn't do national standardized testing stuff. They would do it just for Florida.
We don't cotton to those other states.
I would also hear from like teachers who would move to Florida to continue being teachers. They're like, well, I have to sub for like a year until I can pass my Florida test. I passed the test that lets me teach in 49 other states, but Florida's like, no, got to pass our test too, teacher.
Does not have a reputation of a very educated populace.
This is going to sound weird, but I really like doing standardized tests because they were easy.
Yeah.
And they gave you so much time. So it was like, I'm going to bring all my Nintendo Powers to school, my old Redwall books, and I'm going to finish the test in 45 minutes and then have like 2.5 hours to kill. When I'm done.
I did like having just the number two pencil and just the feel of filling something in.
The order.
The order of it.
The kid's results, baby.
J. Lauren Pryor is back.
Systems analyst.
All right! Homemaker.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mommy.
Boom.
Police officer will all be jiggered.
Excuse me?
If you'd like to learn more, I could arrange for you to ride along in a police car for a night.
Hey. I don't need you to get me in the back of a police car.
Well, I really think you should consider this. You know, before I saw these test results, I had you pegged as a drifter.
Wow, a drifter? Lousy sheriff. Run me out of town. He's lost my vote. Cool.
Bart had nowhere to go but up as far as aspirations went.
This is one of many flashbacks or dream sequences where something horrible happens to Bart, but he thinks it's cool. I think even the stripper thing,
he wanted to be Rambo without a military pension.
I really love the look of Drifter Bart. Oh, that reminds me. This episode opened with something that was at the opening of the Homer at the Bat as well, of three thought balloons, like, right at the start. I have something going on. And the characters just imagine a little cartoon. It had kind of the feel of like a Garfield and Friends type joke or something.
Yeah, like one of those really tiny shorts.
Yeah, a very visual gag. But
there's an increase in cutaways in fantasy sequence
move
forward.
Season 4 is practically Family Guy in terms of how often it cuts away. Not me insulting it, but it does the same thing.
I also love when the kid gets salmon gutter. Ralph gets salmon gutter.
Military strongman.
They really misread Milhouse.
And my dad loved the system analyst joke because that was his job title at the time, and he laughed because he knew it was like a joke. No kid wants to be a systems analyst. They don't know what that even is.
As someone with no practical skill, what is a systems analyst?
They
analyze systems?
Bob, you got systems.
I know Colin Supanusenphone is one on King of the Hill.
Yeah, it's kind of... it's related to economic or like auditing a company, like keeping track of the money and stuff. But this was also just a ongoing thing in my childhood with my dad of asking, like, I would see on shows, including The Simpsons, characters asking their dad, well, hey, Dad, what do you do for a living anyway? And then the dad explaining it to their kid. And my dad would never tell me. Like, I would just say, so what do you do? He's like, never say. Like, and I think my dad is a guy who had begun his life in, like, law enforcement. Oh. And he had worked as, like, he had worked as a deputy in California.
Really?
And he had also, well, he'd worked, like, as a bailiff at a courthouse, then a deputy. Then he tried to run for sheriff and would have been elected. And the guy closed down. They like shut down the sheriff's office so he couldn't
Bart
be
vote.
It.
Was he hilarious and charming like Bull from Night Court?
Please.
Oh,
no,
damn it. You
so.
Ruined it for me.
You know who else wanted to be a police officer?
Hmm?
Homer.
Yeah.
You know, your father wanted to be a policeman for a little while, but they said he was too heavy.
No, the army said I was too heavy. The police said I was too dumb.
Well, I'm going to be a famous jazz musician. I've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
I'll be unappreciated in my own country, but my gutsy blues stylings will electrify the French. I'll avoid the horrors of drug abuse, but I do plan to have several torrid love affairs, and I may or may not die young. I haven't decided.
Honey, if that's what you want, we'll do anything we can to help.
Wait a minute. Isn't anybody going to follow in my footsteps?
I love this.
This was a big belly laugh at the Mackey estate this morning.
I forgot that howl. Just,
yeah.
And the characters all just like, they are all looking around for so long that you feel like one of them would have spoken by this point. Though I do like the kind of division between Marge and Lisa, which I think they've played on in other episodes, even as recently as this season. The episode I watched called The Martian Chronicles. It's where Marge and Lisa are going to go to Mars.
Oh,
It's a five. Whatever.
What? They went to Mars?
Not really, but okay. They were training. Well, I'm not going
to
explain
we'll
this.
Get to
not,
it in 12 years.
Yeah, but anyway, the division between them was that Lisa's like, Lisa thinks she's smarter than Marge and kind of belittles Marge of thinking like, well, yeah, you're just a homemaker. Who cares? Like, you gave up your dream.
Yeah,
you don't
all you
want
do
to
is take
anything.
Care of me, you loser.
Yeah, and then Marge rebelling, or not rebelling, but pushing back against realizing that Lisa kind of doesn't respect her.
Yeah.
And so you get a little bit of that in this episode. The Marge takes it with better humor of just Lisa saying, like, I'd rather be dead than a homemaker. Marge's like, but that's the life I chose.
I chose.
She
graduated high school to accomplish. But then also, you have to have some sympathy for Lisa because she suffers from the very same disease that'll keep Donald Trump out of the presidency.
Cool. That poor man.
So, you think she has talent?
Sure.
Oh, do you think she could be a professional someday?
Oh, Lord, no.
But I'll practice every day.
Yeah, well, I'll be frank with you, Lisa. And when I say frank, I mean, you know, devastating. You've inherited a finger condition known as stubbiness. It usually comes from the father's side.
Oh, stupid fingers.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't need long fingers to play the blues. The blues come from in here. My God, they are stubby.
Aww. Poor Lisa. I like that you can hear the carbonation of the beer as
yes.
it spills onto the carpet. That's a great
sound.
Foley.
The
yeah.
only sound that I didn't get is just Homer and Bart devastating Marge's smiley-faced breakfast.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of gulping sounds.
It's
like,
just...
Ow, ow.
Dan Castellaneta has a way of yell-eating that I've never been able to replicate without almost choking.
I think you need to fill your mouth with something safe.
But that stubbiness gag was such... That is a total Family Guy joke of, oh, you have stubbiness. Quick cutaway to Homer.
Yeah.
They apply that. And then back here. You know, something that you see in flash-forwards for Lisa, it's something I kind of forgot that... She really doesn't become, in none of the flash forwards or imagining of her life, they don't have her be a professional saxophone.
That is
saxophone
true.
Guy.
Yeah.
Like
saxophone
she,
guy.
Yeah, she doesn't play the saxophone professionally. I think they maybe see, like, the creators see that as kind of, like, too little for Lisa. That she's a brilliant person who could end up being the first non-lesbian president of America.
So I do, but I really like this episode because... Lisa becomes disillusioned because her life path is disrupted, but Bart actually finds a purpose or a thing he likes, which he has never been motivated towards anything.
Never motivated before, and they realize, like, it's such a funny idea that a bad kid mm-hmm. who defies authority realizes, oh, I could be a cop.
He could really shake things up on the inside. So he goes on a ride-along while Lisa is learning about her bad fingers.
Do you need straight A's to be a cop? Hey, fellas, let's go shoot some bad guys.
Oh, it doesn't quite work that way, son.
People see movies like McBane and they think it's all bang, bang, shoot 'em up, cops and robbers. Let's roll. One Ocean Tango.
Love
we are in pursuit of a speeding individual driving a red car. License number, eggplant, Xerxes, crybaby, overbite, narwhal.
Oh, no. Cops.
Snake? It's not Snake's first appearance, right?
No, it's okay. Not Snake's
first voice, though, right?
No. Oh, he's,
really?
It's like, he's on the phone in,
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the phone getting invited
Bart's party.
To Bart's party.
Yeah, that's right.
We should be keeping more better track of this. Because
no,
also, I wanted to know if this is the last appearance from the therapist. You remember his name.
Lauren Pryor?
J. Lauren Pryor. No, yeah. He'll actually appear in the episode that explains why Lisa has a saxophone. Mm. Remember, he has a quick joke of saying, like, and Bart has such obvious homosexual tendencies. Bart's gay? Oh, Bart! He realized it's Milhouse he's talking about. But I
also want to compliment just this is one of the things I miss about The Simpsons, and maybe it was to parody a certain kind of cop show here.
Yeah,
but
definitely they're going for a Quinn Martin production kind of thing.
The music is so cool in the next couple episodes.
The camera angles.
See you in hell, punk!
Cliffhanger.
Act 2. Death drives a stick.
That's definitely
See
a Quinn Martin
thing.
I remember how confused I was when I saw this live as a kid, because they'd never done a 2B continued before, and it was just a joke.
It's like when they put the Bart gets hit by a car thing on the screen, kind of. Like,
no,
we'll never do this again, but here's a funny thing to do.
I remember my world was rocked. I'd only really seen it in like Back to the Future 2. 2B continued. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even know what those words mean.
Yeah, and you don't know when it's coming back.
And I can't gauge how long I've been watching the episode. Is this over? What the hell are they talking about? And I love that on the DVD, the joke's ruined.
Yeah.
Because there's
or
no
better, I don't know.
Yeah, as a kid in 92, I hadn't seen any 70s
totally.
TV shows.
I still really haven't seen any 70s
really.
Cop
I mean,
shows.
Those didn't get syndicated much when we were kids.
Yeah,
what got syndicated was like Donna Reed or really more 50s and 70s or comedies. But in the whole cop bit, there's so many great bits in there. Homer freaking out about the copper wire. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We club people with it. I love that line. Just the thing. And also, polling the electorate.
Filthy joke.
Yeah, it's such a gross joke. I didn't understand what hot and cold running chicks mean, but I guess it's like hot and cold running water.
You are so gay.
I guess, so it means it's like hot and cold running water, except...
You can just get chicks whenever you want.
Basically. I get it.
Yeah.
I can infer that.
I do like the animation when Bart is just firing the gun wildly. That deserves the Frinky act right
can
now.
Can you believe... Bart fired a firearm in
the
third season.
He was a loaded gun, and he was firing it at a car.
It just seems like, is that too far? Bart shouldn't be firing a gun yet. That should be a whole episode at some point.
This is against every rule in the book, but can you cover us? And he's just like, then the next shot of him just like idly standing with a gun at his side, why am I holding
Bart had bad trigger control, I think.
It reminds me, remember in Grindhouse, where the mother gives her son the gun, and when the zombie apocalypse is happening... In the first one, the one that isn't death proof, that isn't
Planet
good.
Terror.
In Planet Terror, the zombies are coming, and she's like, gives her son a revolver and says, "You got to protect yourself." And she's like, "Your video games, you'll be fine. Just hold on." She closes the door to her car, leaves him there, and he immediately shoots himself in the head. Like that's
totally forgot about that.
About that. Me too.
You were talking about the cop lines. I am giving Wiggum my line of the show.
That's the joke.
Looks like you just bought yourself a lottery ticket to jail.
He's unconscious, sir.
Oh, I can still hear things.
Sir, I know what I want to be when I grow up. A cop.
Well, until then, son, I'm going to make you an honorary police officer. Eddie, give me your badge.
Hey.
I like it. Number one, his quip makes no sense. Number two, he's talking to a guy that's knocked out. That's what I love about it.
I can see other things.
This is a real improvement, though, for Eddie, Lou, and Wiggum, because in the last episode, they railroaded Steve Sachs
into
jail for the rest of his life.
And it's funny how still they're holding back on using Wiggum, because Eddie and Lou are there, and Wiggum pulls up after it's all over. There could have been a lot of funny Wiggum lines in that scene, but they chose to hold back.
And a stupid note? He gets out of his car before it stops moving. It just looked dangerous to me. Weird. It looked dangerous to me.
I also do love the line, damn boxes, when they're chasing him. But and when I thought about it too, I'm just like, Snake tries to kill Bart. Mm-hmm. Like, and that for a character who will be a regular character on the show, I feel like they can forgive him trying to kill Apu, like he shot Apu many times, but that he was trying to murder a little boy.
And after he was so kind to Apu with that nylon rope, almost sensual. Sensuous.
Yeah. Snake's murderous nature just seems part of the Springfield ecosystem. It's like getting mad at a bear.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or a puma.
Lake Vigilant Puma.
Puma.
Principle of the Mountains.
that puma didn't come back much in the show as the school mascot, but I can tell you
a few major instances it did. But I'm sure,
that's true. The ones when I think of the puma, I think of the first run of Simpson comics in 1994. Mm-hmm. They actually got into the puma a lot, and in the Bartman comics, he would fight a masked man called the Puma, who was obviously Skinner, and so
not the Puma Man.
No, he's not the Puma Man. He's not the Puma Man.
Wise like a moron,
like the Puma.
And I'm skipping over the Little Marge sequence.
I love
it.
That
it is so cute. It's like that. I think if that came out now, that would just be merchandise overnight, and everybody would be dressing like that at Comic-Con.
Your Little Marge minifig or whatever.
Yes,
in cities on the movie.
She just, her feet are tucked in, pointing at one another, and she's all little and cute, and her voice is sped up. It's great.
I love how deflated Marge was after that anecdote. She's like, oh, I actually didn't do anything by telling this story.
All right, I do have it.
You know what I want to be when I grow up?
A girl on the oatmeal box?
No, I'm going to be an astronaut.
Women can't be astronauts.
Why not?
They distract the men astronauts so they wouldn't keep their minds on the road.
There will, too, be women astronauts. It's true. And we'll all live in cities on the moon. So, you see, my sisters were wrong. Except about the cities on the moon. I was wrong about that. So, well, you can see how anyone can be wrong.
That's a great reading.
Great. Marge doesn't get many things like that. That was more like a Homer story, and so I was glad Marge got to have a funny story like that.
They're figuring out giving her things to do, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, this is post-Rancho Relaxo, and she got a lot to do then.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. I know I'm stealing Bob's line here, but it's important because I have to talk to you about Audible, which has helped bringing the show to you today. Yeah, you like this podcast? Odds are you'll like audiobooks, radio shows, podcasts, the beautiful menagerie of spoken entertainment, as they call it, that Audible has to offer you. And guess what? Talking Simpsons listeners can go to audibletrial.com/lasertime and get started with a free book and a free 30-day trial just using that link. I know what you're asking. What kind of stuff does Audible have on there? Well, they have your Harry Potters and your Game of Thrones and your girl that kicked the carcass of doom. And I don't know what the girl series is called. But I went and looked for specific Simpsons stuff. And of course, they have tons of Simpson stuff. A lot of it related to O.J. Simpson, a character I've never heard of, but we're only in the third season. But look at this. We put the spring in Springfield, chronicling the golden era of the Simpsons by Justin Sedgwick. Aha! That is yours free by going to audibletrial.com/lasertime, as well as The Gospel According to Simpsons, a book that explores the spiritual life of the world's most animated family, or even The Simpsons and Their Mathematical Secrets. That's a right triangle, you idiot. Yes, I believe the whole book is about the stupid math stuff hidden throughout The Simpsons. But again, there's that, and a bunch of other stuff you might be interested in, and you can go there and check it out at audibletrial.com/lasertime to get your free 30-day trial and your free audiobook just for giving it a shot. Thank you so much, Audible. Back to the show. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Zero Time Delivery came out on 3DS, and I was trying to call around. Calling around to GameStop, it was always like, look, thanks for calling GameStop. Were you? And I'm like, oh, right. There's like a 60-second preamble before I can engage with you, human. I no ill will towards the person who has to do it, because that's your job. And for all you know, I'm the district manager calling just to see if you did it.
That's...
Just so you can go, you weren't nice enough.
Oh, yeah. Really? For $5.25 an hour, I wasn't nice enough?
You didn't mention all six of the add-on things per sale.
I worked at Suncoast, the movie outlet in the mall, and I'm like, I have never in my life at 20 years old had a job that I'm good at. I am really good at this job, and then every morning when I'd be chewed out, you didn't sell enough Sports Illustrated. Right. I don't want to push that shit. I can literally sell any movie in this fucking store to anybody.
That kid,
I'm the Ricky Roma of Suncoast employees. And it didn't fucking matter how many DirecTV subscriptions.
That kid buying Dumber on VHS really needed a Sports Illustrated subscription. He's
pretty
just
good.
Wanted to buy Fair Game.
What a beautiful choice.
That's all I wanted.
What I hate about the GameStop's...
Thank you, CarTrack. That's my favorite line from that movie.
I don't remember it at
all. They hack into CarTrack to find Cindy Crawford and the Russian terrorist. Ah, CarTrack. Thank you, CarTrack. Thanks, CarTrack. It's great. Get bonus time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
This was a first in this episode, not for Snake, but for Armin Tamzarian's background as being in Vietnam.
Oh.
When he sees after Lisa and the bad girls egg the puma.
I got it.
What are you looking at?
Nothing. Then get out, because we're figuring out stuff to egg.
Okay,
girls. But if you really want to honk Skinner off, I suggest you attack the one thing he truly believes in.
I saw some awful things in Nam, but you really have to wonder at the mentality that would desecrate a helpless puma. I never thought I'd say this, but the no good nicks rule this school.
Language, Skinner.
No good nicks. So yeah, that is the introduction that he had been in. He had been in Nam, and it was just a one-off joke for them. Yeah. But clearly, they fell in love with it because in the next episode, Dog of Death, he will say it again. Like, I've seen a lot of my time. I was in Nam for 6 years. And then it cuts away.
It's great when you see when they find something they like. It's like Malibu Stacy happens a couple episodes in a row. It's like we want to use this joke again.
Yeah, and though who knew that it would grew to him being like he would by the end of season four it be introduced that he had been a prisoner of war and that he also had
reenacted deer hunter sequences.
Yeah, he had reenacted deer hunter sequences, Apocalypse Now sequences, and would eventually be set up to be Armin Tamzarian, a man who no good Nick himself, who then would replace Seymour Skinner's life.
We will get to it. I kind of like that episode.
But as Lisa's fucking with Skinner, Skinner notices Bart is showing an aptitude for authority.
I'll get you, Bart Simpson, if it's the last thing I do!
Now, what is this all about?
Well, it's quite simple, really. I observed our friend, Groundskeeper Willie, burning leaves with a blatant disregard for our clean air laws.
Bart Simpson on the side of law and order? That's the world gone topsy-turvy.
That's right, man. I got my first taste of authority. And I liked it.
Oof. They make a point in this, like, authority's not good. Like, authority is not inherently good.
Bart is still fucking with people, which he loves. He can now just do it
but
with
now he
no
can
impunity.
Do it legally. Yeah.
At what cost?
It reminds me of this comic I'm really enjoying right now called The Fix, which it's slightly spoil The Fix for you, but the opening to it. But so you think you're reading, like, a Tarantino-esque true crime or crime comedy type book. Mm-hmm. And the guy's talking about, like, when I was a kid, the coolest guy I ever saw was this guy who came in and robbed a bank while me and my mom were there. And then he got shot in the face by a cop. And then he's like, and then I loved that cop. That cop was the coolest. And so it was just a guy who liked being a criminal and then realized he could be a more successful criminal under the guise of being a police officer. And
well,
so,
thanks a lot, Mr. Spoil the Comic for me. Chris.
Like,
or he could
pages.
Become a hall monitor. God.
How would you like to be a hall monitor?
Wouldn't that mean squealing on other kids?
That's the meat of it, yeah.
Here we go.
Now, Witness X, would you please tell the court what you saw?
I'd be more than happy to.
Yes.
I saw Mr. Montone there seal the late Mr. Palacio in an oil drum and roll him off the pier.
I kill you!
Hey, caramba!
Chris, dust off your death jingle for Steve Allen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I believe it died in 1999.
Really have to go get that. We have a death jingle to signify when someone has died on the Simpsons episode. Death guest star.
Stalks you at every turn. Ah, there it is, death.
Steve Allen.
Who would later turn against the Simpsons, I think, when he was getting old and kind of losing his mind. And that happens with older celebrities. Like, they will be preyed upon by interest groups. Like, so, talk about how good we are.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
talk about how scared and simplistic you would be.
So, in the last years of his life, he got approached. There was a group in the late 90s called the Parents Television Council.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Who were taking down lots of network shows they saw as being, like, too gross or too bawdy or whatever, and the two of their biggest things were things I love very much, pro wrestling, and The Simpsons. And so they, you know, they got in pro wrestling's WWE specifically. They got in WWE's face so much, they even made up a group to be enemies in WWE to face, who was called Right to Censor, the RTC, instead of the PTC.
It's not ironic that these groups only attack popular things.
Yeah. And no, I mean, Christians who get mad at Harry Potter, there's way more things for Christians to be angry about, but less popular ones.
You seem like, I think I might have a problem with the Golden Compass. The Golden Compass hates you! Like, yell about the Golden Compass! Like,
they're, like, sincerely anti you. And
I remember, like, everything that on these watchdog group lists, like, this is the worst thing ever! Mm-hmm. But it has to be popular, so they can capitalize on the strength of that show to get their message out.
And they get to be on TV.
And the best thing was, on number two, beneath Family Guy in the early 2000s, was Arrested Development. But Arrested Development was still on Fox, and its ratings were poor. So they were like, fuck, we did sneak cunt on the air.
Awesome.
Let's publicize this.
Country music-loving woman. Or whatever that line is.
So, yeah, the PTC.
They complained specifically about anal rapists being visible on TV.
So the PTC, to me, it always felt like they got Steve Allen and his older, confused state to just sign a thing, or maybe he did just feel that way later.
Things were better then. I'd be happy to represent you.
He could change his mind.
But he had appeared twice on The Simpsons, and he had been on multiple wrestling things. Like, these were things he supported, but then
Steve Allen is the first host of The Tonight Show, or the second.
Was Jack Parr the
Jack Parr was first. Yeah. Okay. Second.
Yeah. So one last thing about this fantasy sequence, we're kind of stuck in it, but it is actually a parody of a famous rape trial.
Ooh, yes.
William Kennedy Smith, one of the Kennedy brethren. Apparently. Well, actually, he was acquitted, but I assume that he did it because he's a rich guy who can get away with anything. Yes. And he's a Kennedy, too,
Kennedy.
You know them. And basically, it was one of the first major...
That bushy is mine.
It was one of the first major date rape trials that was, I guess, televised. And the woman asked for her identity to be censored. And I was looking up, like, I know the reason behind it, but I wanted to see what people were talking about. And, like, I Googled it, and every editorial was like, this woman should not be censored. If she can accuse a man, they should know who she is. It's like, wait a minute, guys. Yeah.
And what a funny thing. Retribution. Booing out his face.
Like, oh, no, Mike Reese hates this joke on the commentary. He's like, how funny, we parodied a real rape.
Yeah, how hilarious.
I had no idea. Jesus.
So yeah, that blue dot is essentially like from that trial.
Wow.
Like, because before it would just be a mosaic, but I guess the mosaic wasn't enough.
Though I do love that, like, I kill you!
Yeah.
I kill you!
I caramba!
And this also was not the last, this might be the first time, but it's certainly not the last time Groundskeeper Willie has sworn revenge on Bart Simpson. Like, and he's almost killed him, like, not even counting the Halloween episodes, he's almost killed Bart like four times in my memory.
He's kind of like a Mr. Burns figure in that, like, he never gets his revenge, really, you know? He always swears it.
But he also gets to go so far of just like, wait, you should be fired. Like, you shouldn't be working with children anymore after trying to kill them.
There's another great joke in between all this. Homer forgetting his daughter.
Bart's grades are up a little this term, but Lisa's are way down.
Oh, we always have one good kid and one lousy kid. Why can't both our kids be good?
We have three kids, Homer.
Marge, the dog doesn't count as a kid.
No, Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
What about Stitch Face? That'd be 2 years from now.
He doesn't even feel that bad about forgetting. He's like,
It's a genuine revelation.
Yeah, I love the animation on Milhouse's wedgie walk.
Yeah.
When he gets that wedgie, he's like, thanks, Bart.
I think that's non-Homer physical comedy that doesn't really occur in The Simpsons all that much.
Yeah, but Bart stops it by just saying, like, his belly's not getting any pinker.
Yeah, I think Milhouse is the only child that can really hurt that much outside of maybe Martin, you know?
Yeah, they're kind of the only ones who... And, well, Bart can sometimes, like, get hit
that's
so
true.
Hard. Like, I just remember in the hockey episode when they go, like, this is for wasting teachers' valuable time. This, they're laying into him so hard.
I cannot wait to get to that. That has a moment. That episode has a moment that makes me laugh so hard. We'll get to it in about a year and a half, 18 months?
2017, probably.
18 months. But meanwhile, Lisa is just on a slow descent into just full-on rebellion. Mm-hmm. And this is just a great line.
Lisa, you're not sprinkling your sparkles.
Shove it.
I have never seen a good student take such a slide. Lisa, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got?
And I had to look up that clip because that's a Marlon Brando reference to the movie. What is it? The Wild One?
The Wild One.
Oh, the Wild One. Yeah. And like that, I'd seen the movie, but it's just not read like that at all. And there's no sting to it.
Hey Johnny, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got?
But it's such but
it's colored like that whole line. That line should be Brando's, but for me, it's now Lisa's.
Yeah, but it's such like that movie is such a B movie. They would definitely they parody that more in the okay episode with the Hell Satans in it. If you remember that one,
not the Christ Punchers. I preferred that one.
They're good. See, there's
some good jokes.
Stuff. Yeah,
we will appreciate them more. I think.
But by the way, Lisa's bad girlfriends—they don't show up. That like they're
they
well
never
designed. They should have showed back up again.
I think they were expelled after this.
It's weird that those characters though are the only ones who are visually representative of the time period The Simpsons is being
That's
made.
True.
Everybody else is in a plain shirt, plain shorts, and could be in any decade.
I mean, Jimbo, Dolph, Kearney, Nelson, like they're the bad boys. They don't have. Maybe Jimbo has the closest. Like, oh yeah, that's what kids.
Those
of
fat
the time
Albert
wore.
Ski hat.
I guess. Well, then again, Jimbo Kearney, the third one, Dolph.
Dolph
with his side parts. Like,
that's fully back now.
Yeah, it is hardcore. But also, I do love that Skinner celebrates that the school has become a police state.
Yeah.
And I absolutely dreamed of the stolen goods.
Yeah. The confiscated goods locker. So great. And I think this has to be lost references now.
You know, before there were some corridors of this school you'd just never go down. Now I feel safe anywhere.
Every day is a new fight, sir.
Bart, the school is a police state. Students are afraid to sneeze. And I have you to thank. Come with me.
Madre de Dios! The legends were true!
Yes, Bart. Whenever a teacher confiscates something, it ends up here. Salacious halter tops, complete collections of Mad, Cracked, and the occasional issue of Crazy, and this fake plastic derriere. Now, to show my gratitude, I want you to help yourself to an item of your choice.
Right.
Ooh, now you be careful with that crossbow.
I will.
So wait a minute. Was Crazy the Marvel ripoff of Crack that lasted for like 10
years? I think
years?
It was fake.
That one was made
I thought
up.
Crazy was real.
I'm pretty sure it is real. I normally check for these things, but
I assumed it was fake. It was making fun of that stupid naming convention or the fact that Crack didn't really bother coming up with it. It's just so weird to think of Crack as a terrible Mad Magazine ripoff when that brand is now more valuable than Mad.
Especially Cracked as like an insult. Like, oh man, you're totally cracked.
I know
that guy's mad.
I know that Marvel. Oh wow, no, you are correct, Bob. Ooh. From 1973 to 1993.
Yes, 93, damn.
Marvel's version of it. Because Marvel had its own joke book called What The? But I'm surprised that it took him till 73 to 83.
Oh, 83, got it.
Because we mentioned somewhere
it took him that long to rip off Mad.
I was pretty shocked that you and I, Bob, were just both like obsessed with Mad Magazine.
I was,
in the same period. I had a Mad Magazine club that made a little fucking fort house out of a stupid cardboard box that had Alfred E. Newman, and I try and draw the logo all over.
I used a ruler to do the fold-ins to make them perfect.
Must
preserve Al Jaffe's art.
I saw a great tweet recently where DC Comics tweeted out a cover for Mad because DC Comics owns Mad Magazine, or they're, you know, whatever. So they tweeted it out, and it is a cover making fun of Donald Trump because they make fun of every single public figure ever. Yeah. It is, and then every reply was like, I hope you're doing a Hillary one. Oh, you've lost all credibility with me. How dare DC Comics be like this? It shouldn't be political. I was like, It's fucking mad. It does this every time.
It does this with everybody.
9 million Clinton blowjob covers, I bet.
Yes. Somebody in the replies was like, here's the Mad Max cover with it's Hillary is Furiosa. They just did it.
I have that issue for some reason.
I did want to ask you guys, have you ever had anything confiscated?
Please
do tell. I had one really awful, awful teacher, and I hope she's dead now. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely mean that, because I sincerely believe at the time when I was 10, I'm like, I might be smarter than this adult. I might be smarter than her. And I would always get my tests done like half an hour early, because as we all explained, we're all child geniuses who became dumb adults.
Yes.
I'm now drinking so I can be dumb.
So I would always get my test done early, and she would take away anything I brought to read after doing the test. Like, give me that. Like,
just
spiteful about me
not
finishing things quickly. Like, I wasn't trying or something. I don't know.
Me give you extra attention.
So I hated her. I'm not going to say her name.
You think you're so smart, huh? No, you know, I don't. I think maybe I had, like, a toy confiscated or something.
Tons of things I've had were confiscated.
Maybe once.
One of the most disillusioning things, so I'll save that one. But, it was always something I felt I really wanted. My parents really didn't buy me toys, and like really were like very late to trends. I'd always get the rip off of whatever was popular, and we weren't necessarily poor, they were just dicks. But I finally got a fucking, this is like second grade, a glowworm. Everybody was talking about glowworms.
Yeah, I had those.
A rigid finger puppet that looked cute and glowed in the dark and came
but
in its own little bag.
Inside,
yes,
and, yeah.
totally. An awkward
flashlight you slept with.
Yeah, yes. And I got one, and I was like, I couldn't wait because I felt like I was the last one to get one, and everybody was talking about them, and I'm going to miss the trend. And I went in the lunchroom to show everybody, and a teacher just came up right away and confiscated it. And at that point, I thought, I'll get it back eventually. I never did.
Aww.
No one ever figured out what happened to it. And I was, as a little kid, really devastated. Mm. And then later in middle school, I was pretending to be in a sport so I could fit in.
Uh-huh.
But I was actually just really into cartoons and Mad Magazine and Simpsons.
I faked liking sports for a few years.
So when Disney bought the Mighty Ducks, I'm like, I'm going to wear all Mighty Ducks. I wore sports shirts every day to try and fit in with the fucking cool crowd. Mm-hmm. And like, but when Mighty Ducks came out, I'm like, I'm going to own this shit because this is a Disney property. It looks like Donald.
Sneak in your love of cartoons.
Yeah, did your schools have hat rules? Like, take them off.
It was a Catholic school, so it was like no hats at all.
No hats, period. Yeah. Like, so ours was no hats, and like I walked through the threshold. I remember feeling it was like it was unfair. I walked through the threshold and hadn't taken off, and like right when I'm an inch past the threshold of the door, the teacher grabbed it, confiscated it, and gave it. He's like, you were warned. We just increased hat violation rules. This has to go to the principal. So
it's
the
chair for you, Chris.
I was saving up for like 3 weeks for this hat. And I go and I get a copy from the library of the schools and the Florida Educational Board's rule book on what's allowed to be confiscated and what isn't.
Objection.
And I stay up all night writing all that information down. And I write it all down, like, according to statute and bylaw, this and that. And then I walk to the principal and I give this speech. And, like, he is, like, he's behind his desk, but a giant black man. And
was it Principal Blackman?
He's quiet. And then, like, statute bylaw. And then according to that, you will be subject to... And he's like, what? Get the fuck out of my office! And like all that work to try and trap him, it just took a little yelling and a swear word. And like,
he did not get out the Board of Education, in other words.
Okay. No. That was...
I would never bring Mad Magazine to school because I was like, this shit's too hot for Catholic school,
man.
I can't
take it. Wow. The worst I had was a teacher who really... Well, no, I definitely had a worse teacher than this, but I remember in elementary school, a teacher, she didn't confiscate anything, but she was very against the gifted program, which I was a part of. She felt that it was favoring some kids and making other kids feel bad that they weren't in the gifted program.
So, of course, it was your fault, Henry.
And so, when a child would return from the gifted program, I heard this happened once where this wasn't me, but it was another gifted kid in the group, that she said to them, like, oh, you think you're so special in the gifted program, huh?
Ooh.
All the other kids here are learning just the same as you. You're nothing special. Like, whoa, like that. You're saying that to a child.
You find Carmen Sandiego egghead?
Yeah.
She shelved you.
I mean, gifted classes had their own negatives, but
yeah.
But, you know, this episode is like both nice and mean to teachers. Like, it definitely thinks it teachers are frauds, but it feels bad for them being frauds. They're like, they don't want this either. Like, they don't want to be teachers, and they don't know more than the kids, but they're trapped. They're just sad, desperate people.
This actually illustrates a problem in academia in which educators used to be gatekeepers to knowledge, but now the internet exists, so it's like, why are we here? Why are people paying us? Like,
your babysitters with arbitrary trivia.
Yeah.
People, and that's what it proves. It doesn't seem to hate teachers. It's just the idea that, like, if you chose to shepherd a child, do you tell them about the Battle of New Orleans? Of course you don't. It's not an interest to you at all. Like, you have to be taught that. In a 90s era school. I feel like it's been forever since we played a clip. But it's just more awesome music and a character I wish got brought back more.
Seymour, this is an absence slip signed by Nelson's mother. And this is Nelson's English homework. Notice the identical elongated loops on the D's.
Forgery! So he didn't have leprosy.
This is a great day for me. I thought I could never teach again.
Oh, things have changed. There will be no mockery of your name, Mr. Glasscock.
Mr. Glasscock.
Love it.
Did they say
it.
Cock on television?
They did.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They can just pretend it's a real name.
And I know someone named Glasscock now, and I can't. Wow. I can't.
I know a Taylor Cock, who's a friend of ours. He's the cock man. But, hey, Bob, you're saying something like you've been a teacher. Like, you've taught.
I have been, yeah. Yes. I taught college writing classes while I was in grad school. And thankfully, I guess the furthest you can go is like Wacky Mackey, but there's nothing really you can do with my name.
Swacky.
But a lot of the kids called me Mr. Mack, which I thought was like, okay, I don't want to be the South Park guy, so let's steer away from that. Yeah, I was like,
oh,
I turned
damn.
The chair around. My name is Bob. Mr. Mack is my dad's name, but I don't know where he is.
I'll come up with something. I'll come up with something.
I just love the – you do feel – I feel so bad for the teachers in this, and though also I totally went Lisa, angry Lisa, the Lisa who is like full of contempt for teachers that she thinks she knows she's smarter than.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, what 19th century figure was nicknamed Old Hickory?
I don't know. You?
Perfect kid insult,
Lisa,
by the way.
If you'd bothered to do the assignment, you'd know the answer is the Battle of New Orleans. I mean, Andrew Jackson.
Well, you're earning your 18 grand a year. Stupid Hoover. I think she's so smart. She wouldn't be so smart without her teacher's edition.
Love the music in this episode. It's
love
really
it,
good.
Love it. I think I, watching this, I regretted valuing being like smug or dickish to somebody I didn't like instead of like, maybe I could have worked harder on myself, but instead I worked hard to think of a clever, mean thing that really gets you and embarrass you.
It took me a while to get over that. I pray to God I still don't act like that.
I mean, like, I 6 years ago, I was in...
I have 5 hours of audible proof every week that I do still do that.
Actually.
6 years ago, I was in this time management meeting thing. It was like an all-day thing. It actually wasn't that bad, and I did learn some things from it, but... I came in with a total chip on my shoulder, and I'm sure the guy who runs those meetings sees a million guys like me. He asked me a question, and then I replied with a question. He's like, you know, I find that you always, you often answer a question with a question. And then I said, oh, do I? And I was like, boom, I got you, buddy. But, and then he just kind of like, yes. And I was like, no, okay, I guess we're... this won't work the same as it did in school. Like, I'm getting paid by you guys.
I'm 30. This might not be the right place to do this.
I idolized John Lennon. That's all he did, right?
Yeah.
Is it really wrong?
Anyways, the teacher's editions are stolen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the unthinkable has happened. Some sick, twisted individual has stolen every teacher's edition in this school.
What do we do?
Declare a snow day.
Does anyone know the multiplication table?
Please, don't panic.
Damn.
They can smell fear.
I love the montage of the teachers being terrible. Yeah. And improvising.
As a kid, this gave me the fuel to be like, yeah, teachers suck. But as an adult, I'm like, they hate the situation
that
too.
I call teachers suck. This is what the clip
Children,
is called.
I know this is highly irregular, but for the rest of the day, Martin will be teaching this class.
I will? But I wouldn't know where to begin.
Just do it, Brainiac.
Have I ever told you kids about the 60s?
I've got to get out of
here.
We had a substitute come in, and he clearly wasn't prepared to teach geography in middle school. And so he just, like, sits down, stares at the class, and puts a boombox on the table, plays this up, and tells us the story of James Taylor's Fire and Rain.
Wow.
About how it was about James Taylor's girlfriend dying in a plane crash on her way to come see him again. And I always thought I'd see you again. And I just remember, and some people say this song, and he's like crying and trying to explain to us James Taylor. This is a teacher improvising. And so what I learned that day in geography was about James Taylor's Fire and Rain.
That's great. For the longest time as a kid, when I heard her calm blue ocean thing.
It took me until I had captions to know that.
Yeah, I was just like, is this just her mantra? Is this like, are these made up words I can't understand?
I read it as one word, calm blue ocean. I'm calm like, is that a ocean, word I don't know?
Yeah, that it would be something spelled
like
something
C. Something yelled in Killer Instinct. Calm blue ocean.
Yeah, it would be something like C-O-M-B-L-U-T-I-O-N.
I assumed it was like a word I couldn't figure out.
We are running along. Let me try and wrap this up because I love these clips.
The cops breaking into the library. I love that.
That is so funny. Yeah, like it's just a perfect. It's a perfect cutoff for the joke. It's bam, bam, boosh.
In the batter ramp.
It's so fast and so great. It's perfect Simpsons pacing. I love that joke. Yeah. It's like my favorite thing in the episode. But I also love. It's nice to see. I love Bart and Lisa moments. And Bart is with Skinner trying to track down the Teacher's Edition, and it's
of the Axel F. theme parody that they had put in Radio Bart. There it is.
But Bart's discovery of Lisa being the criminal here.
Lisa! That's right. It was I.
Please, why did you do it?
Come on, Bart. In your pre-fascist days, you knew the giddy thrill of feudal rebellion.
Yeah, but even I had my limits. Looking at expulsion for this.
I know.
Really like both of the reads there. Very convincing as children.
Yeah, it is a very sweet brother and sister thing in the end.
And ultimately, I love how low the stakes are because Skinner says, "But you just saved the school $120."
Oh, the books! answers! Oh, Simpson, you just saved this school $120. Who's behind this monstrous crime?
I am.
I've been so blind. In retrospect, the signs all pointed to a rogue hall monitor.
Sorry if I betrayed your trust, Principal Sucker.
Now, Bart, in light of your recent service to the school, I've decided to be lenient. 400 days detention.
Yeah, 400 days. I can do that standing on my head.
All right, 500 days.
Woo-hoo, big man.
600 days.
Maybe I'll just shut my big mouth.
So I stupidly went and looked up how many days are in a school year.
How many? Like 200? Or...
No, 180.
Oh, so Bart's going to be in high school.
Bart's not going to be allowed to go to high school because he'll still be in Springfield Elementary Detention with 600 days detention in the fourth grade.
Maybe time off for good behavior.
I do love his chalkboard, the end of the show chalkboard gag of, I will not expose the ignorance of the faculty. That is so great.
Yeah, this is a really fun episode.
And then Milhouse then becomes the new strongman, too, is just the cute aside.
It's super cute. It starts where, I mean, there's no, like, surprise first act that leads into something else. It's all one strong ace story, and I love it a lot. It's very heartwarming, a lot of great character moments, and more info about Skinner as a character. That's what I like.
And also, Bart is right that in the futures we've seen of The Simpsons, Bart is the freeloader taking advantage of the much more upwardly mobile Lisa.
He'll be there to borrow money.
Exactly.
In that terrible episode.
Yeah. Smell you later.
Gross. Okay, so yes, thank you for joining us, everybody. I've been Bob Mackey, your host. You can catch me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast known as Retronauts. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. I also write for somethingawful.com. Lots of fun humor jokes for all you friends. Who else wants to talk about what they do?
Laser Time is the show that kind of started this whole operation. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/lasertime, that made this whole show happen, and the first season is available there free for patrons, and I understand there's an asterisk in that sentence somewhere. Laser Time is a pop culture show that's sort of like this, but takes a singular pop culture topic, and we kind of use, if you're a Simpsons fan, we kind of use Jay Sherman's appearance on The Simpsons as a backdoor pilot for a recent topic, and it's a lot of fun. You should check it out.
And if you like traveling back in time through audio, there's 30-20-10, where we talk about the big events in a given week 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. That's 86, 96, and 2006. It's surprising what stuff happened around the same times. And also, I write for fandom.wikia.com.
Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with Dog of Death. Later.
Infotainment.